The Final Chapter, Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, Book 4, Vengeance, is now available in paperback, Kindle, and audio edition. Since the EMP, Denny Walker's compound has survived waves of violence and the death of many key members. When Danny gets an unexpected piece of news from Elisa, he pledges to put an end to the persistent threat in Charlotte. He will kill Regent Slusher and shut down his consortium of depravity, or he will die trying. With JC still missing, a lust for revenge has worked its way into the heart and mind of Chris Castell, JC's eldest son. Will Chris function as part of the team, or will his hatred and need for vengeance derail the plan to end Slusher's reign of terror? In this, the final battle between freedom and tyranny, the victor will determine the course of America for decades to come. You absolutely do not want to miss this edge-of-your-seat epic thrill ride that promises to make your heart race and your hair stand on end. Get your copy of Vengeance by best-selling author Mark Goodwin from Amazon.com now.
You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com.
I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out JMBullion.com today. Today's guest is Glenn Martin of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. Glenn, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Mark. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you on. We probably should have gotten you on here years ago, but better late than never, right?
Hey, absolutely.
So can you tell the folks that maybe don't know you yet, tell us a little bit about yourself, what's your background, and what woke you up to the need to prepare?
Oh, wow. Well, good question. I was born and raised in the Northwest, but many years ago, when I left home and left the country, I went to the big city and I worked as an interior design consultant for 20, 25 years and all across the Western United States, Alaska, Hawaii, and wound up in Texas. And I was in Texas for 11 years and decided enough is enough. I want to get back to, the mountains and fishing and hunting and all of that kind of good stuff. And my oldest boy, he lived up in northern Idaho, and he said, come on up. So I came up here, and Tom, my oldest son, actually owns American Preppers Network. And, of course, I think he's been around longer than just about anybody and out a little bit. And I got really interested in all these things that, we've practicing, or I did anyway, and most people I know and what I taught my kids and what have you as far as being a little more self-sufficient. And anyway, helping him, I got to see these podcasters, and I thought, I'm going to get into this part of it. So, I've got Prepper Broadcasting and produce those shows, and got, almost 4,000 episodes under my belt producing them. I'll tell you, as you probably know, there really ain't no money in it. We do it because we love doing it. And there's nothing like getting that email that says thanks, So here I am up in the mountains of northern Idaho, living off grid, and managed to do that radio show through satellite and my solar panels and generator, and I love it. It's a great life. It doesn't make a lot of money, but it's very rewarding.
Yeah, it's free. You just don't.
Yeah,
it's just being able to breathe and not be congested around people, I suppose, is That's a big part of it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I can go out the front door in the morning and throw the deer that are waiting for me their corn, and you know, we got all the critters around, and it's just it's a utopia. It's perfect.
That's fantastic.
I was gonna say, and up here in the mountains, it's when I get bored, I take off. You know, I can go for miles. I know the country around here pretty well, the lakes, rivers, and streams, and plenty to do, lots of good fishing. And anyway, yeah, it's a little dream come true.
And you've been doing that since you were a kid, right? Just kind of, you know, when you get ready to get away from things, you just take off and hit the trail, right? Or
absolutely.
Actually, where there is no trail.
Absolutely. You know, it was I guess I can thank my older brothers. I was actually born in Salinas, California, and in 59. I don't mind telling my age. I'm getting up there now, but I've got two older brothers, and I was 9 or 10 at the time, and the two older brothers living in the city like we were starting to getting into trouble once in a while, mischief that was getting a little out of hand, and they wound up going into the service. And I had my other brother and my sister, and my dad said, I'm not going to let that happen with these boys. The other two I think are going to make it, the older ones, but I'm not going to let these boys and this girl, you know, be subject to that. He packed us up, and he bought a dude ranch in eastern Oregon at the base of the Strawberry Mountains, and that's where this 10-year-old city kid turned into a mountain kid. So it was quite a life-changing experience, but, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way. It was the best thing in the world he could have done, and it was the most exciting thing that ever happened in my life.
That's a very radical commitment to parenting. We don't see a lot of that these days. You know, most parents are, you know, content to give their kids a bag of chips and stick them in front of the TV and, you know, let me know if you need something.
Yeah, you know, and it's a shame. And, you know, other than here not too long ago, they had the readout movement, they called it. I'm sure you're probably familiar with that or heard about it. And I'm very familiar with it because it was happened to be kind of up here in the Northwest where I'm at in northern Idaho and Washington. And over the last couple of years, this tremendous influx of people from larger metro areas, a lot of them from California, packing up and saying pretty much what my dad did. It's time to get out of this. So we've seen quite an influx of people down in the lower elevation move up here. And I guess what's amazing, too, is, you know, it's all different lifestyles, you know, ethnic backgrounds, everything. Doctors, lawyers, and truckers and farmers and coming up here and buying property to get away from the rat race and try to, you know, get back to home, so to speak.
Yeah, John Jacob Schmidt of Radio Free Readout. He's a good friend of the show. He's been on this program several times, and I've been on Radio Free Readout a few times. And of course, Jim Rawls, who started the Readout movement, he's been on this show several times as well. So very
right.
Familiar with that, and it's great to just to see folks of like mind come together and everybody to form community, because you can't do this by yourself, can you? It takes community.
No, unless you've had some kind of experience at it or what have you, yeah, you better grab somebody that you know has done it, knows what they're doing. It's quite a change, and you better be prepared.
So, Glenn, you've got a new book out. It's called Prepper Survival Navigation. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that was that was another experience. You know, and I'm one of those that you don't say to me, you can't do it, because that's when I, you know, roll up my sleeves and I go at it. But through my network, I've got a little bookstore on the site, and I help promote a lot of authors that publish prepper survival related books, and that's pretty much all I have in this little bookstore I've got. And a lot of these authors go through publisher Ulysses Press, so I work pretty close with them in doing book giveaways and that kind of thing. And anyway, they approached me. They through my website, they were a little bit familiar with my background, and they asked me, you know, what I knew about navigation and survival, and if I would be interested in doing something like that. And I had to take a step back, because in growing up, like I mentioned earlier, in the base of the Strawberry Mountains, all the hunting and the fishing, I was familiar with a compass. I was familiar with finding my way around and, you know, reading maps and this type of thing, but it's been many years, or had been many years, since I actually practiced it. So, but, you know, I had my son and a few others say, hey, you know, here's an opportunity, go for it. And so I talked to them, and I said, sure. And it was a bit of an education, and I think mostly because I thought really that I would kind of whip through that book, that it wouldn't be too difficult. What I found was the time I spent was just ungodly in making sure, by verifying everything I already knew or thought I knew, to make sure I was right. So it wasn't like, or I almost had to write the book like I didn't know anything, because I wanted, you know, I wanted to be darn sure that I didn't miss anything, that everything was accurate. So everything that I did know, I went and I made sure I knew before I paid it, you know, put it on paper. And then we got a lot into the survival, more of the survival aspect of it, the medicine and the shelter building and what have you. And of course, I've touched a little bit on all of those things growing up, but I didn't have the knowledge, even the knowledge that I did in actual navigation. So that's when I got a hold of close friends to help me with that. For instance, I think most anybody in the prepper survival community is familiar with Joe Alton or Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy. So when it came to the medical side of it, I called them up and we chatted. They helped me to get through that part of the book. You know, so areas that I needed a little help, I went to the professionals and I got the help. So we really tried to make the best we could out of that book, and as accurate as we could. They gave me six months is actually a deadline. And I wish I would have had six, but we made it work, and I'm pretty proud of it.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
In the Days of Elijah, Book 2, Wormwood, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin. Everett and Courtney Carl have survived the Seven Seal Judgments, which devastated the planet. But have their efforts to stay alive been in vain? The next series of judgments to fall upon the earth are known as the Seven Trumpets. Within this series of cataclysms is the earth's collision with a giant asteroid known as Wormwood. The comet will poison much of the planet's fresh water supplies, making survival nearly impossible. With each subsequent trumpet judgment, their odds of living grow slimmer. If Everett and Courtney are to survive, they'll need perseverance, faith, and a great outpouring of providence from the Almighty. Buy your copy of The Days of Elijah, Book 2, Wormwood in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.
I think land navigation is something that's sort of a hole in a lot of folks' prepping plans. So I think this book's a really great filler for that hole. Let's talk about a couple of things in there. I guess we should start with the basics. Is it possible to find north without a compass?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's several ways you can do it. The two most common would probably be the sun, and hopefully you don't have a cloudy day. And using the sun, you would want to work with shadows to help you find north. When you know it's about midday or getting close to midday is the best time to do it. But you just, have your stick in the ground, some kind of a stick or a ski pole or whatever, vertically in the ground, and you mark the end of the shadow, where that shadow tip ends from whatever you're using. Place a rock there or some kind of object. Wait 15 or 20 minutes. Place another rock at that shadow tip as it starts to move from left to right. And anyway, once you reach the noon hour, the shadow will be at its longest point. And then you keep doing that every 15 minutes or so, and it'll start to shorten. And once you get done, you'll see that laid out in the rock. So you'll know that the rock furthest out from you is, that center rock is going to be your north from where you're standing. So using the sun, yeah, is not a real accurate way, but if you don't have a compass, good idea. And then, of course, you've got your stars, using the Little Dipper and the Big Dipper to find the North Star, which at nighttime will give you a good idea. There's lots of other ways. You can use moss on trees, but not very reliable, not very accurate. Kind of maybe if you have a good idea, use that as a little bit of a confirmation. And I've got these different things listed in the book. In doing the research, I even found where some university did a study on cattle, herds of cattle, when they're grazing. The majority, I think it was like 95% or more of that herd of cattle will be facing north as they graze. So there's dogs, when they do their duty, another study found that dogs usually, when they do their duty, will be facing north as they do that. So,
no kidding. Now, yeah. with the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper, the Big Dipper is the one that's sort of right side up. Obviously, it's a little bit bigger, and it's usually right side up. And then the Little Dipper is usually upside down. Is that right?
Yeah, and of course it's going to depend on the time of the year when you're doing it. And I wish I had a book in front of me or my map in front of me to help you with that. But I think it's in the winter solstice time that the Big Dipper actually looks to be more upside down. But the way it works as far as finding north is still works the same no matter the configuration of the Big Dipper or the Little Dipper, how you use one with the other.
And then it's the bowl side of the part that makes the bowl of the Big Dipper, and it's the two stars that make the outside
of the
side
cup,
of the bowl.
Yeah.
Which would be the side farthest from the handle. And
correct.
then if you just draw a line from those two to the first star in the handle of the Little Dipper, that's the North Star. Is that right?
Correct.
And then is that true north, or is that magnetic north? And then can you tell us the difference between those two?
Well, between True North is what you would see on a map, for instance, is what you would notice on your map. And of course, any geological survey map or any kind of a topographical map generally will show you a graph as well as a declination scale, which will show you true north and magnetic north. And true north is what you would see on a map, and it's the lines that run perpendicular from south to north, and those are your northerly lines that run to true north. Now, your magnetic north, though, is quite different, and that's going to depend... it's going to depend a little bit on where you are in the country or where you are in the world. And I guess what I'm getting at is when you're plotting a course on a map to take in declination, which is the difference between magnetic north and true north. Now, up here in North Idaho, where I am, it's approximately 7 degrees. So if I lay in a course, say, 20 degrees northwest, I have to add 7 degrees to allow for that magnetic field that kind of floats around. It kind of bobs around true north, the magnetic field does. And that's what your compass follows. And it changes over the years. Now, maps are generally, it doesn't change rapidly. A new map today would still suffice in 6 or 7 years. But periodically, they do have to be updated. You could find yourself in trouble using a map that's 20 or 30 years old. But because magnetic north kind of floats around what true north is, it's not a pinpoint area, you have to allow for that difference between magnetic north and true north. So your magnetic needle on the compass isn't going to be exact working with the map. You have to allow for those degrees of difference between magnetic north and true north. I hope that didn't sound like just a bunch of babble.
Not at all. Now, it's not the map itself that goes out of date, but it's the declination
correct.
Is that right? So, if you had a 20-year-old map and you just figured out what was the new declination chart to how far off magnetic north has shifted since that map
exactly.
was printed, then the map itself
exactly.
is still okay.
Magnetic field in the north that is moving around the North Pole ever so slightly, but it's constantly changing. And so that, like I said, yeah, you don't want to use a 20-year-old map. Use an updated map. It'll be more accurate as far as that degree of difference between magnetic north and true north as you would see it on a map.
That's the end of the first half of my interview with Glenn Martin of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. Tune in next week for the rest of the show. Ready-Made Resources has a limited number of PVS-30 night vision scopes for $4,700. These are the top-of-the-line night vision scopes used by the U.S. military, which normally sell for over $11,000. Turn your 12-hour rifle into a 24-hour rifle. Visit Ready-Made Resources to get your PVS-30 today.